when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, all of you Blood River Radio family members out there. We have one hell of a show for you tonight. We're going to give you a one of a kind program. We've had several donors, major donors, that have already told me nobody else in the United States is putting on a lesson like we're putting on tonight. I'm going to make this quick. If you will go back to our website, Blood River Radio website. And me being the old RN with my incorrect grammar, I wrote every word. We envision Blood River Radio not to be just a radio station. We said we envision it to be a white civil defense network. It's been 4 years coming. By the way, this is our fourth anniversary. We've been on air for 4 years now with Liberty News Radio and Sam Bushman and crew. So next year we really celebrate big time. But we're fulfilling that. We might have been 4 years coming, but we're going to start a white civil defense. I think it's going to be like an VMI freshman or sophomore class, because the heart and soul of our class, it's going to go several weeks, at least several weeks, maybe three or four. We have a former Army Special Forces soldier. He's going to be the head martial arts instructor on this show. We have a former combat Marine. Gene Andrews was in Vietnam. He was a lieutenant in the Marines. We have him. He's going to be willing to come on and help out. But tonight, before we go to our guest people, we always say a prayer. And let me give the date first. Today, this is what we always do. Today is October the 15th. In the year of 2022, in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we always say, every single time, we always say that there's no name under the sun in which man can be saved other than Jesus Christ Almighty. And people, we always say the prayer on this show. And we have a very special, super special man tonight who saved my butt when we were in Charlottesville and saved a lot of other people's, but he flat saved mine. He saved my feet from getting crushed. It's none other than the one and only Michael Tubbs. How are you doing tonight, brother?
I am nothing short of excellent, sir.
That's music to my ears. Well, I tell you what, brother, I'll consider it a supreme honor, and I know all of our listeners would consider it an honor to you to lead us in prayer. We always start off this show with a prayer, Brother Michael. I know you probably know that. So anytime you're ready, Brother Michael, you go ahead and lead us in prayer.
I'll warn you that everybody that knows me knows that if you want me to give a prayer, it's not going to be the typical candy-coated, limp-wristed, milk-toast prayer you're going to get in the average church or sermon on TV. I'd like to give a warrior's prayer appropriate for the troubled times ahead, if you don't mind.
Sounds like a Blood River Radio special to me, because if you've ever listened to me pray and listened to Dr. Hill, I think you'll fit right in, brother. So you can carry
the
way.
All right, sir. Well, with that said, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Yahweh, Lord of hosts, we give you thanks for this opportunity to come together in defense of our people and our land. Father, though we are sinners, we ask you not to forsake us. Though our sins may be as scarlet, we ask that you make them white as lamb's wool through the shed blood of your only begotten Son. Cleanse us and forgive us, that we may be worthy of the blessings we already receive and the blessings we ask for now. Father, we ask you for the blessings which have been asked for by patriots for generations. We ask that you give us strength when our enemies seem too strong. We ask you for courage when courage attempts to flee us. We ask you for hope when the odds seem overwhelming. We ask you to let the scales fall from the eyes of our kinsmen, that they may see through the lies and deceit that surround them and join us in the liberation of our land. We ask you to bring our people to obedience to your perfect law, that our land may be healed and the curses of Deuteronomy 28 be lifted, that we may enjoy ordered Christian liberty. We ask you, Father, to grant us victory over your Antichrist enemies who dominate our land. May the seed of Satan be crushed by these, thy servants. May the prayers from their wicked lips reach no higher than the tops of their heads. May their bones bleach in the sun and their reward be hell. May the lamentations of their loved ones rise to heaven as a sweet song to your ears. This we pray in the most high and holy name of the King of Kings, Yahshua Messiah, Jesus the Christ, that our land may become his footstool as he reigns over his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Amen, amen. You know, that just might be the best prayer I've ever heard on Blood River Radio, Brother Michael. I'm not kidding you. That might be, that's for sure. And Brother Michael, you've been on once before, but I think you were just the second hour then. So what we always have to do, we always have to give honor to our donors. And this week, and I know you know him, none other than Ryan, the Alabama Lone Wolf Owens. He sent in a nice donation. He donates. He certainly does. And also, Ken, we call him Big Ben because Ken donates so often, 2-3 times a month sometimes. And without those donations, people, you know, it costs buku money to keep just the airtime alone is really rough to pay. But we have it coming in now. Thanks to all of our donors. We've got that coming in. And I could not, I could go on and on and on, but I could never thank you people enough who keep us going on the air with your sacrifices and donations. Also, I'd like to mention, we got a note, we heard from Mrs. Mike Michaels. She sent a notice to everybody on Give, See, and Go about Greg, an update on Greg and Travis McMichaels, who were they're in the gulag in Georgia for killing that feral black serial felon. She said that she was able to talk to them for a while. She said Greg and her son, he's Travis. Greg and Travis, they both lost about 30 pounds just since they've been in there, and they don't know when they're going to go to this. They're going to ship them out to the state prison. They couldn't get sent to the federal prison because the blacks want to kill them. As you know, our Lee Wilson, the private detective, said there is a contract on them already. So please keep them in your prayers. Also, a very sad, sad announcement I have to make. Our dear friend of Blood River Radio and the Political Cesspool, James knows him real well, Lee Cochran died. I went to his funeral yesterday, extremely emotional. They picked me. I was really humbled and, honored. They picked me out of the friends. Lee said I was his best friend, and he just died, even though he's in the nursing home a while, because, you know, he's a brittle diabetic, and they said he had sepsis, but I think he had a big heart attack, is what I think. But anyway, he died. We buried him yesterday. So, people, if you will, keep his family in your prayers. And, people, now I'll give you a quick outline. You just heard the one and only Michael Tubbs, Army Green Beret, Army Ranger, Army Special Forces guy. He's also survived the gulag, the federal gulag. He's going to be our lead instructor tonight. We can't get too heavy in instructions, but this is going to serve as an introduction. This is like if you come into class, if you come into college, this is your first day in class. We're telling you what to expect. Like you said, if you go to our website, we want to be a white civil defense organization. You can't be a white civil defense organization without instructing people. And Lord knows, I'm not trying to be Mr. Know-It-All, but we do have some people that are experts on our staff, and we're going to use them. They're going to help you to the best of our ability. I haven't talked to a League of the South man yet, including the great man we have on our show tonight. That doesn't foresee in the near future this country disappearing. The United States of America that we've known is going to be no more. As you know, white people in this country right here we're the most hated species in the history of the world. It's coming. It's coming. The people that are our enemies, and you know who they are, they will survive. Their ultimate goal is to exterminate us, put us in the ground. So what we're going to do tonight, we're mainly going to introduce some of our instructors. We'll even mention some that are not here. We're going to try to teach you about the beans, band-aids, boots, and bullets, secure and liable communications. This is in the future. Security, how to guard against moles, infiltrators, snitches, government snoops, loose lip sync ships. We're going to try to talk about logistics. This is for the whole course, not tonight. Logistics, statistics, tactics versus logistics. Once had a Marine colonel tell me that he said that amateurs practice tactics, professionals practice logistics. I'll let our Green Beret man tell us about that because I know nothing of that. Also, medical, that'll kind of be up my field, and Dr. C.W., board-certified internist and internal medicine and cardiologist. Sanitation and history. Those are some of the things we're going to do, and I'm going to go back over here to what I had sent Dr. Hill, if I can find it, and then we're going to go right to our man. We're going to go right to him. I got this little note that some additional information I want to tell you. That's probably, well, here you go, right here. Dr. Hill's going to be one of our guys. This is pretty much the same thing. You know, I was reading some of this because I can't remember all of it, but we think that we're going to have a cataclysmic shutdown. And people, we're getting ready to go to a break any second. So when we come back, we're going to bring the one and only Michael Tubbs, Green Beret officer, survivor of the Gulag, and we're going to start this course, this college-level course, like you go to a Virginia Military Institute or someplace like that. We'll be right back, folks, after this brief introduction, a brief message, excuse me.
This is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to LocalHoneyMan.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at LocalHoneyMan.com.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Thank you for holding on. Just in case you're tuning in, we're keeping our promise that we wrote on our website years ago. We're starting it can almost like a Blood River Radio school of self, just college of self-defense. It's like you're not going to get any information like this anywhere unless you do join the Army Rangers or something like that, the Marines, maybe Marine Recon, et cetera, et cetera. We're trying to teach you people, give you information that you need to survive and when the meltdown of society. It's melting down now. Anybody that lives in any major city can tell it's melting down. We're going to do our best to give you all the information we know of and try to present it as best we know how to help you to survive from roving gangs of feral blacks, from out-of-control National Guards, all kind of crap like that. So anyway, I'm going to shut up. I'll mention a couple of our instructors. Our instructor on the night, Michael Tubbs. He is the head honcho instructor. He's of our martial arts. That's like I said before, just in case you're just tuning in, because he is Army Special Forces, and he also survived the gulags, the federal gulag prison. He's our chief and martial arts instructor. We'll have Gene Andrews, who's going to come in and maybe help him clean up some. And who's former combat Marine. We have Dr. Michael Hill is going to go over the history of the Irish Republican Army's battle with the Brits around 1920s, Dr. Hill said. We got people like Valerie Protopapasone, Nancy Hitt. They're teaching history on people like the Swamp Fox, Francis Berry and the Swamp Fox, Colonel John Mosby, people like that. Anyway, people, that's just kind of like, I want you to know some of the instructors we got. That's not all of them, but that's some of the ones I can think of right now. But anyway, I'm going to shut up right now and go back to the one and only Michael Tubbs, and the rest of the hour belongs to him. Michael, I tell you what, if you will, if you don't mind, tell the people, give them your resume in the military and in the gulag. And like we talked about earlier, when you get through with your military part, we will start on probably how they can survive the gulag, because some of us were probably going to be arrested, because if you look at Charlottesville, we still got people rotting in jail there now. So anyway, go ahead, Michael. Go ahead, take off, son. The rest of this hour is yours.
All right. Thank you very much, sir. Two things I'd like to state. First off, if you had mentioned earlier that I was a Ranger Special Forces. I went through the Special Forces qualification course and was a Special Forces soldier, sometimes referred to as Green Beret, but I never went to Ranger school. It was kind of unnecessary once you go through the Special Forces qualification course. I was not qualified as a Ranger, but I was qualified Special Forces. You would ask me to give a description of some of the things I had done in Special Forces. I joined the Army and I went in as a 12 Bravo MOS combat engineer, followed by going to jump school at Fort Benning to get airborne qualified. Went to the Special Forces qualification course at Fort Bragg, passed the course there as an engineer, which basically means demolitions. Was assigned to an A team in 5th Special Forces Group. From there, I went to what was called scuba school or combat diver school, and I was assigned to a combat diver team. And it was also a pretty special team in that it was known as a SATM delivery team, or Special Atomic Demolition Munition. And what we did was we carried this atomic munition in a rucksack in preparation for nuking targets during World War III. But they also sent me to HALO school, Military Free Fall Parachutist School, and a ton of other schools. I spent a total of about 13 years in the military, 12 of it in Special Forces, traveled the world, saw things that I only got to see previously in National Geographic magazines, and enjoyed every day of it. Eventually, I was having too much fun in a no-fun zone, and I took the Second Amendment literally. I was going to arm myself with whatever I wanted to be armed with. I manufactured firearms myself and destructive devices, and eventually it all caught up with me, and I was arrested for, among other things, the interstate transportation of unregistered firearms, explosives, and destructive devices. And it was a pretty big case that got both national and international attention at the time. All the big wig talking heads in the U.S. media were talking about it, and it was a rough time, which sent me to the gulag for almost 5 years.
Wow. That is one hell of a resume. I see now why you didn't have to go to Army Ranger School. But that would have been a step down, I guess. Well, you know, if you will, Brother Mike, You know, you mentioned being in the gulag. I didn't know you were in that long. I salute you for everything you've done. I'm asking myself, why the hell am I just now having you on this show, on this broadcast? I don't consider Blood River Radio, it's no longer a show. There's nothing show about it. It's strictly a civil defense broadcast. At least that's why I try to hold it there without any, what's that word I'm looking for? With no drama, no bells and whistles, stuff like that. But, you know, as you just told, and I asked Mike before he came on, I didn't want to put him on the spot or anything, but he did. He was not only in the gulag, he survived five years. So, Mike, if you will, with the very realist expectation of some of us being in prison, even if you're not doing anything, you can get in federal prison for just running your mouth nowadays. If you will, anything you can remember to kind of coach our people, strategies they can use. How can people, for the first time, pretty much has never been in prison or anything, in jail, what can they do to up their chances of survival psychologically, mentally, physically, when they go into the gulag?
Well, let me say, first of all, that I spent all my time in federal custody rather than state. And there are some differences. Some state institutions are known as gladiator schools. You're going to be fighting blacks all day long sometimes. federal prison's a little bit different. Don't get me wrong. The prison system, whether it's state or federal, is one of the most segregated institutions in the United States. If the United States collapsed tomorrow, the racial division would look very much like it is in prison. Even though there's no formal segregation by race in prison, prisoners naturally do it on their own like the good Lord intended. Prisoners try to bunk by race. They try to eat in the chow hall by race. They're out on the recreational field, the weight pile, wherever, by race. And there's a lot of unspoken rules that you need to follow if you want to survive. Too many of them to cover tonight, but basically just remember that you're not the buddy of any black or Hispanic in there. They look down on you. Hopefully you'll make them respect you, but it's all about the way you carry yourself, the way you conduct yourself in prison. If you look like food, you're going to get eight. That's the rule. So you need to do your best to not look like food. I would suggest as soon as you get there, if you're not already working out, that you immediately develop a regimen of physical fitness on the weight pile, out on the track. When I went into prison, I looked at it as I was going into a warrior monk monastery. And I trained my mind, I trained my body, and I just tried to improve myself at every turn. And there's a lot that you can do in there. I was obviously upset with the government when they sent me there.
No kidding.
I made up my mind that I was going to start fighting the government right then and there. And when I was in prison, I took every class I could to improve myself so that when I got out, it would aid me in fighting the government even better. I took a basic computer class in there to learn how to operate a computer. I took typing classes so I could type all kinds of nasty things about the federal government later on. I attended, they had a Toastmasters International club within the prison. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but basically you learn public speaking skills. And I joined that, and it got me in a lot of trouble, which is another story altogether. In fact, one of the speeches I gave got me thrown in the hole and gave me a 76-day trip to the hole and a disciplinary transfer to a higher-level institution merely for discussing the events surrounding the Gordon Call incident.
Oh, wow. That's one of my pet stories. In fact, I used to have a Gordon Call memorial hat. People, I can't – we're up there next commercial. This is our second commercial of the first hour. We're going to take this break. We're going to go right back to this fascinating guest, our brother, Michael Tubbs. Be right back, folks.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News.
I'm Tony Marusso reporting. The Justice Department asked a federal appeals court on Friday to shut down the work of an independent arbiter who was appointed last month to review documents seized during an FBI search at former President Donald Trump's Florida estate. The appeal is the latest salvo in weeks of litigation over the scope of duties of the arbiter, also known as a special master, who was assigned to inspect the records taken in the August 8th search of Mar-a-Lago and weed out any that may be protected by claims of legal privilege. The special master process has caused some delays to the Justice Department's investigation into the holding of top-secret documents at the home. But a major hurdle was cleared last month when the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit lifted a temporary bar on the department's ability to use the seized classified documents as part of its criminal probe. There are few surprises expected on Election Day in solidly Republican Arkansas, where Donald Trump's former press secretary is heavily favored in the race for governor, and other GOP candidates are considered locks. But one big exception is the campaign to make Arkansas the first state in the South to legalize recreational marijuana. A proposal to change the state's constitution is drawing millions of dollars from opponents and supporters of legalization, with ads crowding the airwaves. President Joe Biden's recent announcement that he will pardon thousands of people for simple marijuana possession has shined a new spotlight on the legalization efforts in Arkansas and four other states. Biden's other big rollback, that one on student debt, is up and running.
A beta test of the application for student loan relief went live on Friday evening, launching the Biden administration's sweeping program to counsel student debt for tens of millions of Americans. For the USA Radio News Los Angeles Bureau, I'm Ellie Andrews.
This is USA Radio News.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, Bud River Radio family, man, I'll tell you what, we got this guy on here. I knew he had one hell of a resume, but I didn't know it was anything like this. He certainly not doesn't have a big ego, or he'd been talking about this the whole time. But we were during the break, we were talking about this thing called the Toastmasters Club, and you people might remember he was talking about how he got thrown in the hole and shipped to another higher classified gulag just for talking, making this speech about Gordon Call. So what we're going to do, we're going to get Brother Mike, Green Beret guy, to tell you how his suggestions, how he trained his mind. How did he steal his mind? I mean, people, can you imagine knowing you're going to be in the gulag for 5 years and you're going to be fighting for your life probably every day against thugs, people that try to bully you around, people try to kill you, people try to rape you, people try to pull your eyes out. Can you imagine that? But he's going to tell you some of the things he did to steal his mind. And if we have time, tell you how to steal his body. But also we want him to, after he talks about stealing his mind, to expand upon this speech he gave about Gordon Call. That's really near and dear to my heart, Gordon Call. So if you go ahead, Brother Mike.
Well, sir, as I said, I was in the Toastmasters Club at the prison, and the subject that I had chosen for one night's topic was the story of Gordon Call and how he was murdered by law enforcement. And, you know, that's kind of a touchy subject when you're in a federal prison. A lot of folks in the prison system knew who Gordon Call was. They had heard the story, but they didn't know all the details. One of the things that got me in the most trouble, as I mentioned during the break, was that we had some outside guests come in who were members of Toastmasters clubs on the outside of the prison. They were civilians. And so when I gave this speech about Gordon Call, these civilians heard it, and of course they were flabbergasted at some of the details I gave. And that's what really probably got me in the most trouble, was that there were outside guests present. But I didn't hold back. You know, I told the whole story about the ambush, and there was a documentary produced by Gordon's wife, Joan. She paid a lot of money for it. I really didn't think it was a great put-together documentary, but his body was exhumed because there were rumors that those who had killed him had performed some sort of a Masonic ceremony after his death by removing body parts of his, and they wanted to confirm that. And I mentioned that during the speech, and that was kind of probably too ghastly for some folks, but you know, it needed to be said. Once you hear that story, you can't unhear it, and I'm sure there's people today who still remember that speech. But I just felt it was my duty, you know, to speak the truth wherever possible. And somehow or another, the story of me getting thrown in the hole for that speech made its way back to Gordon Call's wife, Joan, and she wrote me in prison. And I corresponded with her for several years after that and developed a friendship with her. So it was really, really great, really worthwhile. But, yeah, that's pretty much the Toastmaster story.
That is totally amazing. Now, if you could do it, or I'll do it before we go to how you trained your mind, because we've got plenty of time. This course is going to take weeks. Some of the things, would you like to give them some of the details about how Gordon Call, his son, Yori, is still in prison? And correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm sure you know more about it than I do. I don't believe Yori ever fired a shot. I think he went to federal prison for, he paid the price for getting shot. The federal marshals attempted to murder him. So since they failed to murder him, I guess they just sent him to prison. But would you like to elaborate a little bit on, and some of our listeners probably don't know Gordon Call, but he should be a hero to everyone that knows him. If you will, if you don't mind, Mike, tell us a little bit about Gordon Call, what happened out there in South Dakota. I think, Minette, South Dakota, North Dakota, and the little tax protest he was leading. He was an Air Force veteran, World War II, his son got killed, got shot. Tell us a little bit about that, about how they ambushed him, if you don't mind, Mike.
Well, it's been a long time since I've gone over the details of the story, but they were, that night, they were participating in a tax resistance meeting, and they were convoying down a road with some other folks that you don't hear much about. And the police had planned to stop them, and apparently all evidence seems to indicate they planned on murdering Gordon Call. His son Yori, as you said, all the evidence shows that he didn't fire a single shot, but he was shot himself, and he ended up, I think it was a 40-year sentence, just for being at the wrong place at the wrong time with his dad, who they really wanted. And Gordon Call was able to flee the scene and ended up in a house of some friends, and he was betrayed by one of the children of the friends. Strangely enough, the only child who had never been homeschooled by the family was his betrayer. And, you know, Fed showed up, and they poured flammable fuel. It was an earth-sheltered home, so they had a hard time getting in, so they poured flammable fuel down the chimney and dropped incendiary devices down inside it and basically burned Gordon Call alive. And the rumors have it that when they came in to remove the body, that they actually removed body parts from him in some sort of a strange ritual. That's why his body was later exhumed. In fact, the former police officer Jack McLam, who was very popular back in the 80s for his patriot antics, he led the exhumation of the body. he was prominent in the video that was paid for by folks friendly with Joan Call. And let's see. In fact, that I used that video as a defense because when I got out of prison, they tried to tack another month onto my halfway house for giving that speech. And they, one of the punishments, like typical Soviet style, they tried to send me to a mental health care professional because of the speech I had given on Gordon Call. And when I went there, I brought the copy of the video. It was called Death and Taxes. And,
yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, and I handed it to the guy. I said, this is why I'm here. You probably don't know the details. I gave him the whole story about me giving the speech and handed him the video. And I said, watch this, and it'll explain everything that the government hates about me and tell you why I'm here in front of you today. And he took the video, and I never saw him again. He knew what was going on. He knew there were some government shenanigans going on. They were going to try to put the nut jacket on me, you know, for daring to talk about government involvement in Gordon Call's death.
You know, precious Jack McClam, he's dead. He used to come on our we've had him on our show. Matter of fact, he was the very first guest I ever had when I went on with James. I used to be a co-host with Political Cesspool. God, I think I was only about 59 years old when I started. But we had Jack McClam was our very first guest on. And wow. You're absolutely right. He said that the feds also murdered the sheriff, if memory serves. Murdered that sheriff, and I think it was Izzard County, Arkansas. But, so you said something that's great, and we need to always remember, people, we fight not against flesh and blood, but against against the spirit of evil. I don't remember the exact phrase in the Bible, but we're fighting against Satan, people. That's who we're fighting against. And before we leave, Officer Jack McClam of Gordon Call, if you will, did they ever, man, I'm just on fire to know, did they find out if there was any Masonic rituals? Because you hear people, these Masonic rituals, they're all part of the satanic occult. I cannot emphasize too much. We're fighting against Satan. That's who we were fighting against. So did they find any evidence of the Masonic rituals, Mike?
You know, if they did, it was not released. It was very much covered up, and I don't think even Jack McClam had made any statements one way or the other about it.
You know,
there is photographic evidence, though, of the body when they went in. At least one of his feet were removed, and your feet don't come off of you in a fire. You know what I mean?
No.
Yeah. So there is photographic evidence of. They said they cut off his hands and his feet. I don't know what the symbolism of that is in Masonic rituals, but he had at least a photograph of one foot removed.
That is incredible. But before we leave that, this is so fascinating. This reminds me when we also had Senator. John DeCamp on state, Nebraska Senator John DeCamp. He's the one who wrote the book, The Franklin Cover-Up. That's another break. We got to go to a quick break, people. I'm sorry I got us off track, but this is very fascinating stuff. It's really not wasted time because it's who we fight, Satan. We'll get rolling in a minute, folks. I'm sorry that I derailed us. Be right back after this break.
Treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Dear Blood River Radio audience, I'm going to try to speed up, but don't worry, people. All of our listeners know through just so many super interesting things to discuss. Once you start doing a program, you never... If you're like me, it's hard to stay in a perfect straight line because there's so many other auxiliary stories behind the main story. Just for instance, Brother Michael mentioned, Jack McLam. And also, there was a guy named, and I was telling him during the break about this Nebraska State Senator John DeCamp, who wrote the Franklin cover-up. If you can still get it, if it's still in print, you owe it to yourself to get the Franklin cover-up. If you ever doubted that occults, satanic conspiracies are high up at the very highest level in the government. And to quote John DeCamp, it goes all the way to the White House and above. These satanic conspiracies, for instance, like when they sainted Ronald Reagan was in the White House, hell, they were bringing in male homosexual in and out of there at night. I'm not saying that the sainted one was partaking in homosexual callboys, but they were going in and out of the White House. But there was also, and I'll mention this other thing, the other guy, there was a guy named Ted Gunderson. He was very, very high up in the FBI at the time. He was the chief FBI agent, the lead agent in the California, you know how huge California is, and he was on a rocket's trajectory going up to be the head honcho in the FBI, but guess what, you know what brought him down? What brought him down? He got to investigating the occult stuff. He investigated a Green Beret doctor, a McDonald, it was his name, out there at Fort Bragg. I know, I bet you Michael knows about him. He was, framed in one of these, framed in an occult murder of his family. But people, I'll just say this one more time. We fight against Satan himself. Now, get back to what I was going to ask asked Michael if he hasn't exhausted it. Mike, what are some of the things these people could do if they're in the prison? How can they train their mind psychologically wise? How can they tap into that? I have come to the conclusion it's not mind over matter. It's soul over matter, because from a Christian worldview, once you die, your mind is going to be dead, but your soul will live forever. So your brain takes orders from the soul, and that's just my guru stuff. But anyway, Mike, how can they train? If you have any recommendations these people can train in case they're thrown into the gulag, how can they train their mind, Mike?
Well, you kind of touched on it already. I got to say, the thing that helped me the most throughout my time to that entire legal meat grinder was my Christian faith. Because I went in there as a Christian, my God blessed me repeatedly in ways that were unmistakably blessings from Him. When I went in, because of my case and the events surrounding it, the news media nationally had labeled me a white supremacist and racist and every other evil name that you can think of, things that still haunt me to this day. So when I went in there, 90% of the prison population is black. And when I first got into jail, I got into a cell where the TV's blaring. There's my face up there. And here's these talking heads of the media talking about Michael Tubbs, white supremacist, evil racist, blah, blah, blah. And all these black heads turn on their black necks and look at me like, yeah, you know, they got some thoughts. And so it was my Christian faith, maintaining that faith throughout my ordeal. You know, the strangest things would happen. Like when I was in jail, some black guy would come up to me and say, you know, they pass out the lunch trays and stuff. And, you know, blacks and whites don't get along too well in jails and prison. And this black guy said something like, yo, man, you want my salad? And I said, sure. Okay. No problem. I'll take a salad. He'll go back and sit at the table. And some other black guy says, man, why'd you give that cracker your salad? He said, the only reason he could come up with it, I don't know. He was just moved to bring me his food. And it reminded me, you know, in the Bible where, you know, I'm prepared a feast at the table of my enemies. You know, it was my faith in God and that buoyed me up through that. And because of my faith, I was rewarded that even my enemies would feed me right there. And things like that just happened over and over again. And, you know, I knew that no matter how many of them there were, I could only die one death. So it didn't matter if one person killed me, I could only die once. So it didn't matter how many there were. So when somebody would pipe up about something against me, you know, I'd go straight to them face to face and call them out on it. One night I was laying in a bunk and there was two black guys down the row in their cells. And one was obviously some little guy with a high-pitched voice talking to another bigger guy with a deep voice. And the little squirrely guy kept talking about me and how I was a white supremacist and how when they rolled the doors open in the morning, they needed to kick my ass. And I couldn't hear what the other black guy was saying, but I thought I knew who it was. And so that next morning when the doors roll open, they let us all out in the common room and they passed out the breakfast trays. We're all sitting at the tables eating. And it's the biggest black guy in there. I said, hey, was that you last night talking about kicking my ass? And he just looks up at me. No, that wasn't me. Real sheepish, you know. And all these other blacks are looking at him like, come on, man, you got to do something. You know, this is the biggest black dude in the whole cell. I said, you sure that wasn't you? Because I thought I heard you talking about kicking my ass this morning. And he says, no, man, I don't want no part of that. And that just completely diffused the entire situation. When all the young jits saw him backing down from me, they realized they didn't want no part of it either. And I kind of felt bad later on because I got to know this black guy, and he was in there for murder. But, you know, he murdered his wife cheating on him. He walked into the house, caught his wife with some other dude. And this guy was real intelligent. He was a real nice guy. You know, he just got caught up in his emotions and killed somebody. But, you know, I got along with him the rest of the time I was in there. And because I was okay with the biggest black dude in the cell, nobody else messed with me. But, you know, it was a Christian faith throughout the entire ordeal that provided me with one miracle after another to survive. And I'll never forget it. One blessing from God after another.
I would say that was a blessing from God and a miracle, too. A lot of our listeners know I came up in the rough part, this 90% black South Memphis. And I'm telling you, it was hell on earth until my dad finally got me out of there. But that I would call that a calculated risk. And I'm a gambler that you're very fortunate. I would say that God was really with you when you did that. And you called his bluff and he backed down. That was great. People need to remember that. Probably what they could take, the main part of that story is you can't show fear. Like Michael said, if you go in there and you're looking like food, you're going to get eaten. And you know what, people? Even if you're not a big guy, I mean, if they're going to get you, they're going to whip your ass anyway if a bunch of them get on you. So you have to, I would say, Michael, I'll go to Mike. He's been in jail. You have to show courage, even if you're scared to death. You have to stand up. You have to show these people you will defend yourself to the best of your ability. But number one, if these animals have any, if they're capable of respecting you, they will respect you for that. And number two, animals, even dumb animals can learn under pain, so they probably don't want to be hurt themselves. That's a good point. Our people, if you ever go into any jail, not just in the federal gulag, but if you go into any jail, you need to remember that. That's a great lesson, Mike. It certainly is. And training your body, you talked about in the beginning, if you go into the, people going to the gulag, this is our kind of part of our gulag class in case you get thrown into jail. You won't get classes like that in college, people, but you're getting it here. You talked about the running track and the pile of weights. Elaborate on that just a little bit, if you don't mind, Mike.
Well, sir, I don't, it's been a while since I've been to prison. I don't know what they've got for physical fitness these days, but, the weight pile was a big meeting spot for a lot of guys. And, my goal was to get big and get strong in there because our enemies respect strength. And, so what I did was I made some friends with some of the bigger guys, the more experienced weightlifters. I've always tried to surround myself with people who I thought were better than me at something that I wanted to be good at because they could teach me and I could learn from them. So, I always sought out people who were bigger than me, stronger than me, and got with them and worked out with them. And it was to my benefit. I got pretty big and pretty strong when I was in prison. And like I said, our enemies respect strength. So I didn't have much problem. It's all about, like I said, the way you carry yourself, the way you present yourself, obviously your physical appearance. But don't be fooled, because one thing I learned in prison is it's not always the biggest guys who are the best fighters, the best scrappers. The little guys, you got to really watch out for, because, throughout their entire life, they might have been picked on because of their size, and these guys learn how to fight. And so don't ever judge a book by its cover. A little guy is just as likely to tear you apart as some big guy. So you gotta watch people, watch how they move, watch how they carry themselves, and prepare yourself mentally for how they might approach you. And like I said, size doesn't necessarily matter, but be aware of that.
That brings to mind another fellow by the name of G. Gordon Liddy. Now, G. Gordon was a good bit older than you. G. Gordon was in the federal gulag. He was of, you may not remember him since you're younger.
Oh, yeah, Watergate guy. Absolutely.
Watergate. He went into the gulag in Washington, D.C., the Washington, D.C. jail. I heard the old jail is torn down now. But if people, let me give you a book to read. If you want to read one hell of a autobiography, go get a book. If it's still in print, if you can get it. The title of the book is Will, W-I-L-L, like the strength of the will. That great Hitler movie, the Something of the Will.
Triumph of the Will.
There you go. Say that one more time, Mike.
Triumph of the will.
The triumph of your soul. G. Gordon Liddy was about roughly my size. I think he said he was 5'9", 175. And when the goons were taking him down to the dungeon, they were talking about him. These blacks going to rough you up. They're going to do this. You're no longer a big-time lawyer. You're going to catch hell. He said, little did they know, all they were doing was exiling Lenin to Siberia. And in other words, he was in his element. I mean, he was one bad dude. We could do another whole story on that. But Mike, I think when I didn't cover the stuff I wanted to, but we covered some great stuff. We got our audience's attention, I believe. We've come to the end of the hour. Be thinking about, I was going to ask you to talk about what we want to cover next week. But people, you've heard it. We've had the one and only Green Beret soldier, survivor of the gulag. He's going to come on next week, and we're going to open up some hardcore instructions. But just consider this an introduction. So we'll see you next week, Michael. Probably second hour. I'll get back in touch with you ASAP. Thank you so much, brother. I respect you to the nth degree. God bless you. And People, next the next show, we're going to have, the next hour, we're transitioning second hour. We got Gene the Bitter Ender, and Miss Valerie Protopappas coming on. Be right back.